What is going on, everyone? It's Rob and Johnny. Welcome to episode 52 of the MM Arcade Podcast. We're back, Rob. We're back, bro.
We're back. And, you know, to squash the rumors, I'm not dead. Like, after the last fight, the amount of messages, and I love the support and I love the care.
Yeah.
But, like, a lot of the messages were like condolences, like I just passed away. Dude. But no, I'm good. I'm good. How have you been, mate?
Oh, dude, good. I mean, like, maintaining the channel as much as I could, because I've been doing a full-time job as well, so that's been more difficult than normal. And just playing games, chilling, watching the UFC. But I'm glad that you're back. We're all glad that you're back. And this podcast episode, we say this all the time, it might actually be shorter because
it has to be.
We want to focus on obviously talking about Rob, his fight, where he's been, his injury, and just clear the air with all of that so everyone knows what's been going on with you. And then we can chat about some games news and what we've been playing and also some viewer questions. How does that sound, bro?
Well, it has to be like that because I missed all the fights.
I wasn't going to say it, but
I know. You're skirting around it professionally, but I'm just kind of going, I've missed everything because I was kind of dealing with my teeth, which I'll allude into after.
Yeah.
Lead into after, but I was dealing with that when I first got back, and then I went on holiday, got some time off.
Yeah.
And during that period, like I just didn't have time to, I didn't catch any of the fights. And then once I returned back from my holiday, it's been all systems go. Like I've been organizing routines, making like a rough outline of plans.
Yeah.
But you know what? I'm pretty much talking about it now. Let's talk about it. Let's talk about it, right?
So where do you want to start? And by the way, if you are new, subscribe to the channel. Would really appreciate it. Do you want to start with the fight itself and just what went down and clarify everything? Because I know there's been a lot of misinformation out there about exactly what happened in that fight with Khamzat Chimaev. So take the floor. What happened?
Okay. So I guess looking at that fight, I felt amazing. Like, the cut was amazing. I felt strong. I felt fit. Like, I was focused. I was locked in. Everything was picture perfect.
Yeah.
Honestly, like, I can't take that. I can't say any otherwise. So, got in there. And, like, within seconds of the fight starting, I felt real comfortable standing with him. Real comfortable. But then the dude drops to like a millimeter. How do you stop that takedown, guy? Like,
you just don't.
It's like we did a lot of wrestling. We did a lot of stuff. We did a lot of wall work. But, mate, it's so hard to replicate that sort of takedown, that sort of commitment. And, you know, props to him. Guy knows his strengths, played into him to a T, and is willing to burn it all there for it, right? Mm. But anyway, takedown goes in, ankle picks me off the fence. Like it was a great takedown. It was a beautiful takedown.
Yeah.
But then we get to the wall work, and I felt good. Like I understood. Like he has a really heavy sag. He's not ridiculously strong or anything like that, but he had a really heavy sag. So he was really good at giving making me work. Like he was really good at making sure he was active. Like he was always kind of reaching for underhooks, reaching for ankle picks, trying to get a hook in. He was like making me work, staying active, you know, during the whole time he's kind of sagging me. But even then, I knew that the squeeze that he was pushing on going to be very hard to sustain that throughout the rounds. I understood we had five rounds, right?
Mm.
And I could feel some of the space opening up later on. But anyway, but obviously it happens. We transition, and then mate, he puts his forearm across my face for the face crank, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it was just picture perfect, like landed square between my there's that dimple part between your chin and your lip. It's like it just hits right there, and within like instantly, my teeth gave out. Like instantly.
Fire.
And mate, Like, obviously the squeezing afterwards didn't help. But, mate, they just gave out. And what do you do? Like,
so when you say gave out, like, for people that don't understand the history of teeth issues that you've had, because when that happened, people were surprised and thought it must have been something with your jaw. Your jaw broke. It was a fracture. There was a doctor that came out afterwards and provided this full breakdown of what likely happened. You might need to have your jaw wired shut, da-da-da-da-da. But for people that don't understand your history with your bottom teeth in particular, what actually happened to them?
Well, I've always kind of had bad bottom teeth because I've had missing teeth here for like 10 years plus. So they've always kind of been shot because they're not stable. They're not a full circuit. They're like half, right?
Yeah.
And, mate, over the years, trauma, whatever, I don't know. It was something that kind of needed to be addressed, but every dentist and their friend was always saying, like, always try to keep your real teeth. Mate, should have got rid of them years ago, right?
Mm.
But the Drickers fight, I don't know, I think I addressed it here, but they got pushed in a little bit when I fought Drickers. And I had to address that. They had to be pushed back. I had a cast in there, let them settle, yada, yada, yada. Move on. Then when I fought Ikram, I had all the infections, right? Had four root canals.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the teeth had just had it, mate. Like, I think they just had enough. You know, enough's enough. Like, I don't think there was anything holding the teeth there anymore. It's like, but anyway, his forearm goes straight across the bottom teeth and they move straight away, right? But then he squeezes. The squeeze after it is just they just were gone. They just went straight back in. Everyone and their friends saw the photos. And also, with that, I'm dirty at you, DC. I'm dirty at you, bro, because the doctor took a photo in the back med bay. It was like, just going to show Dana just so that they know what happened. Shows DC. DC puts it everywhere.
Fuck. Okay. DC. It puts it
everywhere. I am dirty, bro. Why you have to do me like that, right?
Oh, man.
But, teeth just went straight in. I couldn't fight out of it. Like, I could feel my teeth in, like, the middle of my mouth. I was like, I was done. And hats off to Jamai. Like, guy had a plan, went in there, executed it for whatever reason, got the W, man. And it's upsetting. I don't like losing like that. But it is what it is. You know, and then straight after, I had to obviously deal with the teeth. So my jaw's fine, perfect.
Okay.
Because I just said stuff that, like, I hate these things, and I got rid of them. So I got rid of the teeth.
Mm-hmm.
And, mate, I've dealt with that, recovered, had a couple of weeks off. And, mate, I'm back in the gym as of yesterday. I'm training like usual. And...
Yeah, you told me that, and that was crazy. Are you serious? Are you seriously training right now? I was like, I'm just doing some jujitsu, da 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 da.
Yeah, we're back, mate. I'm gonna give a bit of time. I'm not gonna rush into the next fight because there are some things I want to address. I thought everything was pretty good last camp, but there were some things during the camp that I want to kind of just like tinker with.
Okay.
But then wasn't the time. But now I've got this period. I'm probably looking to return in June. June-ish, end of May, I don't know. Like, we'll play with the dates next year.
Mm.
But, I just want to kind of work with some new things, train hard, get, like, work on some skill sets. You know, I don't think I give enough attention to during camps.
Yeah.
But otherwise, I'm back. I'm still alive. I will say thank you very much for all the love and support. Like, everyone, you know, all the fans, even non-fans, disrespectfully, like, you know, give me props and care, support, love, and I appreciate that a lot. I still, you know, still going, still rocking, so it's good.
No, it's dude, good. It's honestly, it's good to see you here. It's good to see you in good spirits, and you're back in training. Do you mention June? So that's when you're 6-7 months roughly away. Yeah. Do you have a potential opponent in mind, or are you not even thinking about that?
Not even thinking about that. Same thing as always. I'll fight anyone the UFC wants me to.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to get myself in the best shape and the best version of myself and then get out there and do what I do, right?
Yeah. You know what?
I'll go as far as to say that Chimaev you know, did me a favor.
How so?
Got rid of the teeth.
Okay, fair enough, fair enough. Because that, like, it seemed like it was a problem just waiting to happen, aggravated by the Trickers fight. You had all the, you know, infections from the Ikram fight. At some stage, this was probably going to happen, and against a wrestler like Chimaev, in all likelihood, it was probably going to be him.
Oh, yeah. You know what? It's like the fear of hurting my bottom teeth, of them moving, because they've always been crap. Like,
yeah.
I haven't been able to bite down on like an apple since I was 19, right?
That's crazy.
Like,
dude.
They've always been bad, and
yeah,
I don't know. I should have dealt with them.
So you've just gotten rid of them now. They're just gone.
Yeah, they're just gone. Like, they just don't need them.
I assume at some stage.
Yeah. Fun fact though, when they took them out, they found a massive cyst in my jaw.
What?
Because, yeah, apparently, and they think that might have been where the infections were coming from for the teeth.
Jesus.
First time, so, you know, everything happens for a reason.
Mm.
But, no, I'm good. I'm interested to see what he does next.
Yeah.
But I think he's going to be a nightmare for a lot of the dudes in top five because I don't know how you stop that takedown.
Well, speaking of, in terms of what Khamzat does next, what do you think he will and probably like deserves next? Because a lot of people are saying just put him in there with Drickus. And that's especially coming from a crowd that don't necessarily believe that Sean Strickland deserves the title shot after beating Paulo Costa, who you beat. What's your opinion on that?
I think you should go straight to Drickus.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think sitting out should be rewarded ever.
Mm.
Right. But not my call. Not my decision.
Well, look, in all likelihood, if that was a fight they wanted to put together, you have seen Sydney, right? Did you actually know that Khamzat Chimaev is coming to Australia later this year to do like a tour or something? So visa seemingly isn't an issue. Drickus has obviously fought here before in Perth, and it seems like good timing. If there was ever a fight, and plus apparently maybe Sean Strickland doesn't want to fight in Australia. I don't know what's going on there. That could be good timing. I don't know. He tweets a lot of stuff, but I wasn't too sure.
I don't know. I don't know. But, yeah, I think he's going to be a nightmare for a lot of those dudes.
Yeah. Right?
And otherwise, yeah, that's me. That's a fight. Upsetting.
Mm.
You know, losing a fight always sucks. I feel like losing the way that I lost sucked extra hard.
Mm.
But, yeah.
But here's the thing, bro, and I'll say this for you, and I know it might be difficult for you to say. Anytime that you've been through a moment like this, you have always come back, right? You're very similar like to a Max Holloway in that sense that you are fighting the top tier guys and then every time, all right, you might have a setback and then you just get win, win, win and you're back in that conversation, right? And at this stage, you only need another one or two really good wins to be right back in the conversation, similar with what happened in your previous fights against Paulo Costa, against Ikram Alaskarov. I think a lot of people were like, oh, you know, is this going to be it for Rob? You know how people always do that. Like, is that the end and da-da-da-da? And then you always prove them wrong. You've done that time and time again.
Yeah.
And I have every bit of confidence in the world that you will do it again. Genuinely.
Thanks, dude. And I feel like I'm still, I'm 34 in December. So I still have, I feel like, some tricks up my sleeve. I still have some goals that I want to hit. Like I said, I am fiddling with some new skills. But, yeah, I think this, like, that's just how I look at things, though. Every obstacle and setback just makes me stronger. It makes the comeback better.
Yeah.
And, yeah, no, I'm looking forward to getting back in.
And you're still in your prime, bro. 33. Let's settle down.
I'm enjoying training. I'm excited for, like, the next, like what I could be, like developing this kind of like this change that I'm having stylistically with how I fight. I want to see where it goes. Might be good, might be bad, but
you know,
it's got to change things up, keep things
fresh. So I assume you don't want to share information as to what changing things up necessarily means, to not give too much away, right?
No, I just want to, well, mate, I've been fighting the same way for about 12 years.
Yeah.
Right? Like a lot of these new guys coming up watched me when they were like kids. So I think like the manuscript on how I fight's out there, it's time to change things up a little.
Okay.
You know, I'm going to surprise some people, I think.
Yeah.
But yeah, let's leave it at that for now. To be fair, alrighty, I haven't even developed it yet. I got to work on it. like you may be able to see, I got punched about 400 times in the head today. So
I still can't believe you're back at training. That's
the style's not working yet, but we're working on it.
Yeah. Right?
But I did you know, side news, I did go on a mad break.
I did want to ask you, what'd you do?
Went on holidays, stayed at the Mirage up in Airlie Beach.
Yep.
We did the Whit Sundays up there.
Nice.
We went to Hamilton Island. We did Airlie Beach. We went to, what's the word? The place where the sand is actually white. Like, it's
bright.
Gave me a headache because of how bright it was. I had it was sunny the entire time. Dude. The water's crystal clear. Kids went snorkeling, snorkeling,
yep.
Fishing, jet skiing. And I get motion sick, so I was kind of like car sick the entire time.
I have to take tablets for that stuff as well sometimes too.
Well, I'm such a last minute guy that I always, because the tablets go take the night before, but I always forget. So I just sit there like a man white knuckling the rails, just like trying to hold it together. But no, it was great.
Yeah.
It was great. Like, good for the soul because the kids loves it so much. And the wife. Like, they just love swimming. They're such a swimming-orientated family. And then I got home and then I got to have a little bit of a break, play some video games.
Nice. And we'll obviously talk about that later. And we've got Christmas coming up. You've continually said you're going to take a proper Christmas break with your family. I'm sure you're stoked about that.
Mate, I'm not going to... I'm eating so much, dude. I cannot wait for Christmas dinner because there's just going to be so much food.
Can you say how much you weigh now, by the way? Would you be honest? Yeah,
100.5.
Far.
Actually, no. This morning after the session yesterday, I was 98.6. So.
Well, I got to convert that to
somewhere
pounds.
Somewhere in that
bracket. Pounds. So
it's like 220-ish.
Yeah, 217, 220. Far out, bro. Damn. Yeah. Man, you deserve it though. You just take the time. You take the time off. Eat whatever you want.
This is what I fight for, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So look, you're back. You're training. You're gonna have a break. Are you at all gonna be in attendance at UFC Sydney?
Yes. Assuming I'm here and timelines work out.
Yeah.
Yes, definitely. Like I want to take my kids to that. I want you and myself to be a part of the media that is there.
Hell yeah.
I'd love to work with some of the outlets that are there. So, you know, it's around the corner. I missed out last time just because of how crook I was, right?
Yeah.
But, yeah, definitely.
All right. Well, let's get into the rest of the podcast. As you mentioned, you haven't watched any UFC recently.
Yep. I'm sorry.
All right.
They're big fights too. And like as soon as I said that I haven't watched any of the UFC this week, so there's going to be no UFC talk. So many people just left. Like, bastards.
No, absolutely not. Can I ask you quickly, what did you think of like just hearing the news that John Jones beat Stipe?
I thought it's really hard to comment anything without watching the fights.
Fair enough.
Had no doubt that he would win though.
Yeah, I feel like it was a safe bet.
Like, yeah.
All right.
Obviously, anything can happen in this sport. But to be fair, they were my tips for Unibet. If you're in Cage Punters, they were my tips. Like, the payout was absolutely atrocious because of how strong favorites they all were.
Yeah.
But I had John Jones winning, I had Oliveira winning, and I had Bo Nickel winning.
Yeah, fair. Well, look, we won't dwell on it because you didn't end up getting to watch it.
Sorry, guys.
I will say, bro, if you ever get the chance, I don't think you will, but if you ever get the chance, you need to watch the previous fight night in Macau. It was like one of the best fight nights ever. Genuinely, it was incredible. I was like up at midnight still watching fights. Piotr Jan, Davison Figueiredo was a war, bro. So if you ever get the chance, you should watch it.
You know what? Whilst I can't speak on the fights themselves, I can speak on where do they go now? Because obviously Jones, his direction after Stipe is, you know, it's a big debate.
It's not. Say the answer.
It's a big debate.
No, it's not, bro. Don't do that.
No. I'm 100% for him fighting Aspen. He has to. There can't be two belts in the same division.
He's defended it once. He's defended the belt as often as Jones, bro. Like, come on. What are we doing?
I don't know. Like, you go take the belt off Jones.
Look, you know what I mean? Can I say this? From John's perspective, I get it because against Alex, it's probably the bigger fight money-wise more people are tuning in because Alex Pereira at this stage in his career is more well known than Aspinall, just because of what he's done over the past year with UFC 300, continuously saving cards, da 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 da. And stylistically, it's obviously a fantastic matchup for John, right? Mm-hmm. So him saying, I would prefer that fight, I want that fight, I get it. But also as a fan of Tommy Aspinall, I'm like, nah, just fight the interim bloody champion. And I want to see this fight. It might not be as big. It might be harder for you stylistically because people keep forgetting how good a jiu-jitsu Tommy Aspinall is. But it's still the fight to make. He is the interim champ. Just get it done.
I feel like Jones versus Aspinall or Jones retires is kind of the play. But bro, I would love to see that fight so bad.
It would be so like good, bro.
Jones versus Pereira. Dude, I would love to see that so bad.
Would you prefer to see that over Aspinall?
I would. Wow. I really would. Well, only because of how well Pereira's going. And no, I don't want to see Pereira fall, but I want to see him go against a guy that has the wrestling caliber of Jones. Especially heavyweight, where Jones has even more strength. He was said to be strong and as a light heavyweight. I can only imagine, especially with the way he manhandles people, like as a heavyweight, you know, right?
Oh, dude. When you watch that Stipe fight, that first round was brutal to watch. It was just took him down elbow after elbow after elbow. Like, it was hard to watch that entire fight, to be honest.
And I don't, Pereira hasn't been tested by someone like Jones.
No.
And I'm not talking stand-up wise. He's fought the best. He's got the best stand-up in the world, probably.
Yeah.
Okay? He's fought the best strikers in the world. But I mean, like, someone who's got such a high-level skill set across the board. Let's just say I want to see Jones take him down. I want to see if Pereira can give enough threats and worries that Jones can't get a takedown or can't hold takedowns against Pereira. I don't see it happening, because Jones is sensational, especially at heavyweight, right? I want to know. I'm so curious because I definitely think Aspinall's a much harder fight than Pereira.
Yeah,
for Jones, definitely. I think Aspinall could be the guy to actually beat Jones, perhaps.
I genuinely believe he will.
Of how well rounded his skill set is, Aspinall. Yeah. I'm talking as well as his age, his hunger. Mm-hmm. You know, he hasn't been in as many wars as Jones. He's still young, vibrant.
Yeah.
Vibrant.
Yeah. Look at you pulling out the thesaurus, bro.
You know, dude. Oh, man. I'm a little rusty on this old podcasting business. Been reading too much.
No, you know what, bro? Like, this has been a nice conversation for the first 20 minutes, and I'm sure no one has actually clicked off. And we ended up talking about some of the fights anyways, implicitly.
I feel like the guys that listen to us speak, they're just here to really pick our brains anyway. And that's kind of what we do. We kind of just go off on tangents left, right, and center, but we have fun with it. You know, we're a chill cast. Right?
Yeah, yeah. People are here for the bants and us answering questions. By the way, leave your questions in the comments below. Mm-hmm. We always try to answer them in the viewer questions segment at the end of the podcast. But are we all done with UFC? Did you want to kind of share any more messages?
I am done, but I do want to ask, where does Jan go now?
Don't get me into this, bro, because
Does Jan go? Because I've seen some back and forth between Mirab and him.
All right.
And they're kind of like, Mirab's kind of like, okay, like he's cool with it. Like, he's cool with it. Is that where it goes? Is that the fight that happens?
Can I be honest with you? Mm-hmm. I said before, and I said quite openly, that I thought Figueiredo was more deserving of Umar. And it's not like a slight against Umar. The fact is no one wanted to bloody fight him in the top 10. He struggled to get fights in the top 10 because I think what it seems like anyways, people didn't want to fight him. And then he did what he did to Corey Sandhagen. But I just thought Figgy was doing more when he moved up to the division. And now that Piotr Jan did what he did to Davison Figueiredo, and bro, like it was a competitive fight, but Jan won most of the rounds. Maybe not the fourth, but at least four rounds, in my opinion, he won. He outclassed Davison Figueiredo for a lot of it. So doing that to Figueiredo, I have to say that I believe right now Piotr Jan is more deserving than Umar Nurmagomedov. Mm-hmm. But what they should probably do is have them fight for the number one spot, you know? If it's not either of them fighting against Mirab, then you have to do a number one contender's shot.
It is hard, eh? Because, like, I'd love to see Jan slide into that Mirab fight. You know what? I'm biased though. And I've said this before, everyone that's listening, I'm biased. Everything that I say is biased. I try to be objective sometimes. A lot of the times I'm not.
That's what opinions are. You're sharing your view.
I do my best. And I always lead with how I feel. But I feel, right? This is how I feel. So I would love to see Jan slide into that fight with Merab. I think him fighting Nurmagomedov is like really making him go through the gauntlet before he fights. Before he gets to Merab. Like that is obviously, I think that the fight will make him better, prepare him for Merab. But mate, that's a hard fight.
It's a very difficult fight. But
it's like a title fight in itself, almost.
It pretty much is. And let's be honest, the UFC is probably going to make the Umar versus Merab fight. Merab clearly doesn't want it to happen. He was initially trying to call out Sean O'Malley again for a rematch. He was trying to call out Davison Figueiredo, saying he's more deserving. He tweeted out saying Piotr Jan probably deserves it more. And I'm not; those are not his exact words. But it's clear to some extent he probably doesn't want to fight Umar. Maybe he doesn't believe Umar has deserved it yet. I would like to see Piotr Jan versus Umar Nurmagomedov because I think it's a really compelling fight. But I think the UFC is going to make Umar versus Merab. I think it's just obvious. With how big the Nurmagomedov name is and how much it's probably going to sell, I think that's what they're leaning towards. And then obviously you have Piotr Jan there as a number one contender already because I think he's deserved it, whether he fights now or whether he waits after Umar has his opportunity. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I get it.
Yeah.
That's just the nature of the business sometimes.
Yeah, yeah. So
give us things to talk about, though.
True. So who do you think is more deserving, if you want to share that? Piotr Jan or Umar at this stage? It's a hard question, man. Because as I said,
I don't think deserving is the word to use.
Okay.
I think I'll use with the most likely pick, and that'll be Umar. Like, they've been wanting this fight to happen for a while.
Yeah.
And... like, yeah, I don't know. Honestly, I don't know.
It is difficult because, again, it's not Umar's fault. We've talked about this, but he's only had that one win against Corey Sandhagen. However, it was bloody Corey Sandhagen, so it's deserving of a lot of credit. I think they're gonna book Umar in any event. But let's see what happens with Piotr Jan. Let's see what happens with the division. But Rob, do you want to talk about some game news?
I would love to talk about some games, mate.
So, Game of the Year nominations are out for the Game Awards. Jeff Keighley, he does an awards show every single year, and they've put out their list of Game of the Year awards. Now, to be clear, this is not Jeff Keighley saying, here's who I think or what I think are going to be the top games of the year, and you need to vote on it. They have a panel of media and other judges that vote on their stuff, and these are the games that came forward. Astrobot, Bellatro, Black Myth Wukong, Elden Ring Shadow of the Erdtree, and we'll talk about that in a second, Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, and Metaphor ReFantazio. Now, the one odd inclusion on that list, if you're looking at it, is probably Shadow of the Erdtree, because it's not a standalone game, it is a DLC, it's an expansion. Before they announced these Game of the Year nominations, the Game Awards and Jeff Keighley came out and said, we're changing the rules so that it's not just standalone games. If it's a DLC and it's an expansion and it does certain things, it can still be eligible for Game of the Year. And then lo and behold, Shadow of the Erdtree was on the list. So a lot of people got quite upset with this and didn't believe that Shadow of the Erdtree, as good as it is, should be nominated for Game of the Year. Can I get your thoughts, Rob? Because I don't think you've played Shadow of the Erdtree yet, as big of an Elden Ring fan as you are.
I am. Well, it's because I burned myself out so hard on Elden Ring before it came out, right?
Yeah.
I've got like 600 hours in Elden Ring before... Yep. Shadow of the Erdtree. So
yeah.
I'm still not there. I can't, like, I just can't motivate the energy play it yet. But yeah. I will say, remember when we first started, like before when we were off air and we were talking about the nominations and you told me about the controversy about the DLC. Straight away, what did I say?
I can't remember.
Guy wasn't listening to the thing I said.
I was concentrating on the run sheet.
Cool. Now, off the cuff, I said no. I said DLC shouldn't be there. You can't double dip. Hmm. But now I'm starting to think.
I know you're changing your opinion anyways. Wouldn't have mattered if I listened.
I am changing my opinion because I think this should be an enticement to other games that if your DLC is made well enough,
yeah,
and it's like to the scope of practically a whole nother game, that you can double dip. You know, I feel like the creators should be incentivized, but as well as celebrated for the amount of work they put in. You know, so
yeah,
I went full 180 and I'm back. I think it should be there. I think it should be there. But can my I ask pick, you, yo,
why not just create a different category for best expansion or best DLC? Is that not giving them that incentive and that recognition for creating something incredible?
Yeah, but everyone knows Game of the Year is the trophy, right?
I don't know.
I don't know. But you, and also, like, where does it stop when you start creating new categories?
Well, there's already a bunch of categories and they spend barely any time during the show.
Yeah. And nobody cares about them, dude.
Well, it's to be fair, it's hard to sometimes care because some of these awards are like given in the pre-show or like on the side and you barely even see who won and there's no speech. So how can we care?
Yep.
Do you know? Here's the thing that I'll say, bro. And I came out, if you remember, I love Shadow of the Erdtree Tree. I love Elden Ring. I think what it did was phenomenal. Art direction, some of the best that I've ever seen in games, period. It expanded upon the story. The level design is incredible. More weapons, more everything. The storyline was exactly what we wanted to see with Mikula as Elden Ring fans, yeah? Even that being said, I don't believe it should be there in Game of the Year because the devs already got their flowers. A few years ago, it won Game of the Year. Elden Ring won Game of the Year. And in my opinion, what this is doing is potentially taking it away from true standalone games that are also just as deserving of something like this, of an award like this. And it's also like, I might have been more forgiving if you open Elden Ring and it's a little button that says Shadow of the Erdtree, play it, and it acts as like almost as like a standalone thing. But that's not what it is. You have to play pretty far into the main story and kill two bosses, Moog and Radahn, to even be able to play the DLC. So, like, it's so far into the main story. You know what I mean? I find it difficult to put it on a list like this, as much as I love it.
I think, though, like, you answered your own question in a way that because like, they were there last year, they did they got the award. They got – or the year before, sorry. And they got the award. They got it all. They did it all. That's the reason why they won't win this year as well. You know what I mean? And let's be honest, like,
okay,
you take Elden Ring out, the game you're putting in isn't really going to be. They didn't not put in a proper contender for Elden Ring.
I see what you mean.
You know what I mean? Like, the game of the years that could potentially win, they're there. Or without Elden Ring.
And do you know what's going to win? Do you know what's most deserving?
Astro Boy, dude.
Astro Boy, I'm telling you, bro, right now.
I'm with you on that one.
It is the best game this year.
Oh, it is so cool. I watch my daughter play it all the time, and I love seeing her.
So they started playing it.
Oh, no, she finished it. She smashed it.
Oh, okay. So how does she enjoy it?
Oh, she loved it. Loved it. They were hooked on it. And it's funny because like my other boys would be around playing their own games, but then they'd be like, pausing their games, just watching her.
Yeah.
And then by the end of the game, they were all three of them were sitting in front of them trying to help each other beat the bosses. It was so good. And I just seen her like she goes in that little village or whatever it is and she makes all the bots follow her around. So there's like 100 bots following around.
Yeah.
The way they did the little bots and they did like not Easter eggs, but like
Easter eggs and references.
References to every other game. It was so cool. So well done. It is, and it plays so well. Like it is refreshing. You know what I mean? I'm backing Astro Boy for that dub.
I'm so glad that you've gone into that because that's exactly how I feel about the game. Like the mechanics with the DualSense controller. Like as I said to you, sometimes it makes you feel like you're walking on metal because of the vibrations that it makes. The speaker and the controller, when enemies throw projectiles at you, it's like the projectiles are being thrown behind my ear. Don't know how they did that, but that was freaking awesome. All the Easter eggs and references and the bosses and the power-ups that you can use. I could go on about Astro Bot for days, man. But the thing that you mentioned just then about your family sitting down all playing it together and they're all enjoying it. Astro Bot is just a fun video game. Yep. It is an awesome video game. And that's hard to say sometimes lately, but it just ticked all the boxes and then some. It deserves Game of the Year more than anything else on that list, in my opinion.
I like it. I'm for you. There's two ticks from us.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. And like, I think Wukong stands a chance as well. I haven't played Balatro. Final Fantasy VII Rebirth definitely deserves to be in there. Shadow of the Erdtree, if it's in there, it obviously stands a chance because it was phenomenal. But I haven't played ReFantazio either, but I've heard good things. So it's a pretty good list when it comes to Game of the Year nominations. It's been a pretty great year for games.
Yeah, we had some good drops, 100%.
Yeah. And speaking of drops, speaking of games, let's move on to the next segment, what we're watching, playing, and reading. Rob, on your time off, during your time off, what have you been playing? What have you been doing?
I've been watching nothing because the latest season anime is just terrible, dude.
Yeah,
I don't
know what it is. Nothing has caught my fancy either.
They jump on like a trend, like, and then every anime after that is the same sort of trend, and they're all just garbage. I don't know.
Fair enough.
You know what I started watching with my sons though is Demon Slayer.
Yes,
it's killing me because I'm watching it in dub.
Oh, I'm so sorry for you. I'm so sorry.
I'm two episodes in, and dude, the relationship with the sister is weird. It is weird.
It's not okay? Weird,
brother. It's weird, bro.
Why? Why do you say that? Tell me.
They hold hands all the time, all the time. And you know what's weird? It's weird. I don't need to say why it's weird. It's weird. Maybe dub's making it worse because, like, and translations like just making it creepy. But dude, it's weird.
I've watched some weird anime. I've watched some good anime have some weird things. This to me is not. Know this as well as I do, bro. You've watched some anime where you're like, that should not be in there. I will call out freaking
brother. I've watched some anime looking for that stuff. Mate, that's how I know. I've gone down the rabbit hole, brother. Like, that's how I know. I can sense these things, and I can tell. As soon as I saw them too, I was like, see what's going on here.
Nothing. You know, if you've watched all the episodes and heck even read the manga, you know it doesn't go down that path.
Yep.
And I don't think it even implies it. I think you're reading too much.
I don't
into
think it.
It
implies it either. I just think it's weird. I think the dude who wrote it had a weird fascination with his sister.
As does half the people that write anime and manga. It's a trope that comes up constantly.
And it's weird.
Thank you. It is weird. I don't think this is that, but as a general thing, it is bloody weird.
It's weird, dude. But yeah, I started with my son. So I'm looking. I just can't wait till we get to that pig dude. He's my favorite.
Oh, yeah.
I love that pig dude.
In Osuke?
Like, the pig dude. The guy who wears pig mask.
Yeah, it's him. Yeah.
Dude,
yeah.
I cannot wait. So,
hell yeah.
Yeah, I've been watching that with my sons. Reading, okay? There's a book that I have to recommend.
Sure. Okay, I'll pull it up.
I've read it. I've recommended it before. It's called Dungeon Crawler Carl. Okay?
Right. I'm looking it up.
It is such a good book. Book 7 just came out. I read it while I was away on holiday.
Right.
Mate, it is sensational. The way he, like, and for one, I'll give big props. I'm even going to go as far as to drop the author's name. Where is he? Matt Dinnerman.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Dungeon Crawler Carl, 7 books at the moment. So when a book series drops its second edition or its third episode, edition book, whatever.
Right.
And there's a bit of a break between it, okay? To everyone that does some sort of recap paragraph, without making it look like a paragraph, like finding a clever way of introducing a recap without breaking my immersion, hats off to you. Everyone should do it. If you've spent eight months between books, understandably, it takes writing books takes time. Can't write a letter. But if it's taken 8 months, brother, give me a recap, please. Give me a recap. And he's done that in just about every book so damn well. Like, his writing is just phenomenal. The book itself is phenomenal. The premise is so good. So the world's been taken over. Aliens, half the population's dead. The other half have been put into a dungeon. And the dungeon is like a reality TV show for aliens, Okay. Got to get from floors 1 to 18 and that's it.
Wow.
And they die. A lot of people die. It's crazy. Like, it is so unhinged what happens in the dungeon because there's no real rules or anything like that.
Yeah.
Like, the reality breaks a lot. It is just, it's so cool. It's such a good premise. It's unique. Mm-hmm. I haven't read it. Like, I've been in the lit RPG genre for a long time now and I haven't come across it elsewhere.
Yeah.
It is such a good book and I cannot recommend it enough. If you like games, if you like RPG and you like stats and you like abilities and spells mm-hmm. and things like that, but you also like a sort of realistic take on an apocalypse, but like kind of not super serious because of the show itself that's going on around it. It's hard. It really is hard to describe. I cannot recommend it highly enough. Dungeon Crawler Carl, Matt Dinnerman, you're a legend. Hope he sees this somehow. Someone get this to him.
Yeah, someone tag Matt Dinnerman. I'm sure this reel is going to be uploaded somewhere.
Weapon. Right. Yeah. Anyway, that's what I've been doing. And playing.
Yep.
I've been playing the game Barony. Have you ever played it?
No, I've never even heard of it, bro. I'll be honest with
you. It's like, it's a dungeon crawler game, but it's like, it's multiplayer. And the idea is to get from floors 1 to 35. Okay.
There's a trend. There's a theme here.
Bro. Yeah, man. And it's just, it's so much fun. You pick a class, you pick a race, and you run through the dungeon. And it's fun because like there's traps, there's pit traps, there's boulder traps, there's darts, there's enemies. Yeah. And you can play with your friends. It's actually one of the few games that's actually split screen.
Nice.
Which is like a dying thing. It's obviously low. It's a pixel game, right?
It kind of looks like Minecraft, but it is not Minecraft.
It is so much fun.
Yeah.
Because you can just jump into a run with your mates and you can save it. Right.
Yeah.
But your runs could be over in floor one. Right. You just get wiped. You make mistakes. Or you can just keep going. And
nice.
That's what I've been playing. But when I'm not with them, I've been jumping back into League of Legends. Did you ever play League of Legends?
My man. Toxic community. Really? League of Legends?
I am there for the toxicity.
You are the problem.
I am there to make my blood green, brother. it is wild. Wild. And... I've dusted off the old Rift boots. I'm back in there running it down mid with my mates. And it is funny. I had a real bad sleep last night. I hopped on this morning with my mate. Guy said one thing to me and I went off rails, dude. And I'm surprised I'm not banned. I went off rails. You shouldn't. Okay. But he asked for it. Okay, he asked for it. He should have kept his mouth shut. Everyone's doing the same thing. Nobody cares, all right? Because I'm just playing quick play. I'm not playing for money or anything like that.
Yeah.
Okay? So nobody cares. Just you let me do me and you do you, okay? I don't have a go at when people feed on my team, okay? Because, like, it doesn't matter.
Toxic Rob is the best Rob.
Oh, dude, Toxic Rob. But I'm playing League, and I've been playing a game called Quasimorph. I just started it today as well.
All right.
Another dungeon crawler, roguelite, kind of like Space Marine game.
Really cool. Nice.
But that's me. What about yourself?
Well, after it's been a good few weeks and months since we talked about this, but after I finished Astro Bot, I had to play and finish Demon's Souls, the remake on PS5.
Dude, that's such a good remake.
It's phenomenal. Phenomenal. And I really appreciate it because I went into the Souls genre completely backwards, right? The first Souls game that I actually played and finished was Elden Ring. So now going back to the start is very interesting to see like where all those inspirations started and you can see how the genre has evolved.
Yeah.
But the remake looks phenomenal. I did buy the PS5 Pro. Shout out a lot of money for it. It looks great on that quality mode, 60 frames.
Such a good looking game.
Oh, man. It's phenomenal to look at. But also as well, I like how simplistic it is when it comes to a soul genre. Like there are 5 levels. You can take it pretty linearly. It's not that hard comparative to a game like Elden Ring. Like it's you're going to die sometimes. But if you get a pretty decent build, like I wasn't really dying much to bosses or regular enemies.
Did you do white worlds and black worlds?
So I didn't get fully invested. I ended up finishing it, by the way. The one world that I got into a black world was where I wanted to get this ring, the sodden ring, so I could walk through the marshes a little bit easier. That's when I started experiencing, oh, crap, maybe I want to do a rerun or like play a new game plus and do the black world versus the white world thing. Because most worlds was white for me.
It's really cool. I did like, so my first playthrough was like a complete one.
Yeah.
So I did everything in white because it's really easy to go black. So I did everything in white. Like if you just beat the bosses, you pretty much end up white.
Yeah.
And then I did the white and then I died, killed myself six, whatever, how many times?
Five, six times. Yeah. Yep.
And then made it black. So I did like a complete one the first time. Second time though, I went, because you know how you can go straight to the old king.
Yeah.
Straight away.
Yeah.
I went straight to him, level one, and kind of cheesed him on like a staircase or something. it takes forever, dude. But you get his sword at level one, which I don't think requires any stats to use.
Yeah.
So you just carve things up like good. So you can make any build you want and just run around with a sword. It's really cool. It was a fun way of playing.
Yeah, I ended up doing the build where I got the, and it's a typical build from when I researched it, but the Crescent Falcon and magic build. So it's like a sword, but it scales with magic as opposed to any other stat. So I upgraded it to +5, boosted my magic. And there, like with Elden Ring, there are places where you can cheese souls quite easily. So I leveled up a little bit. And part of me in hindsight probably shouldn't have done it because it made some parts of the game pretty trivial. But when I did that, I was killing bosses pretty easily and whatnot.
Magic in Demon's Souls is silly. Magic in all the Souls games, in every Souls games, is silily.
Like, but I wasn't really casting spells. That was the interesting thing. I was using it for this weapon specifically.
Because the sword fighting is so cool. Even the spells look so cool.
Yeah, like,
I wouldn't hate you for using them. I think on my playthrough, I just went Oonga Boonga. Like always Oonga Boonga.
Yeah.
Can't help myself.
Yeah. like, every Souls game, that's how you play.
You know the demon, what is it? The dragon, the big one that looks like a big slab of rock.
Yeah.
Like, I end up using that in a bow.
Nice. Yeah, so look, I finished it. I loved it. I might do a New Game Plus run through soon, maybe not now. But so that's what I finished and played. The other thing that I played as well, I've been heavy into Call of Duty Black Ops 6, man. It's so sweaty, and I haven't touched the campaign or zombies mode really. It's been mostly multiplayer, and they've just got it right. The Omni movement is awesome. The guns feel good. It is chaotic, and you play this thing, and I consider myself like decent at Call of Duty. Not bad, not phenomenal, but just the way that the maps are set out, and initially when everyone was playing, a lot of people were camping. You die quite easily. Like, the lines of sight are freaking everywhere, but it's fun. It's fun. It's chaotic. And I haven't played a Call of Duty game this much since probably, Black Ops, original Black Ops or Black Ops 2. So Call of Duty has been a lot of fun. I think they've done really well with it. And I've stopped playing it for a little bit now, but I want to get back into it. But I just need friends to play with, because I feel like that's where the game really shines. Playing on my own is fine.
It's where all multiplayer games shine.
I agree. But I will say this, like, it does a pretty good job pairing you together with like people that are around your skill level. So I never felt like a fish out of water. Like, I always felt like I was pretty competitive. And as I said, ultimately, it was just fun to play. And it captured the excitement of Call of Duty that I used to have back in the day. I fell off for a little bit, but for some reason, maybe it was in the marketing or the promo, the Black Ops 6 really wanted me to get back into it. And I did. And I'm so glad that I did. I would recommend it. If you haven't played COD in a while, play Black Ops 6. You will love it. I'm telling you right now.
Can't play shooters. I'm getting too old.
Yeah, you said that. That's fair. I mean, look, I'm almost as old as you, and I'm hanging in there.
I don't know. When I jumped back on the league, dude, it took me like ages just not to get confused and lose my cursor.
That's like, fair.
Like, too much
league,
happens.
You don't need to be as like twitchy shootery like you need to with Call of Duty, right? Like your reaction time doesn't need to be as there.
Brother, you are going to spark off some heavy, heavy arguments. You're going to get flamed.
I've never played League of Legends. To be fair, I've never played.
Yeah, League is a heavy IQ game, my G.
Okay, IQ game, fine. I'm saying when it comes to reaction time, is it comparative to a shooter?
Massive, massive,
okay,
massive.
All right, that's good time.
It's, I think so.
I don't know. Yeah. I'm ignorant on this topic.
Give it to him, guys, in the comments below.
Oh, they always do. You've had some takes that they've given it to you.
Give it to him.
I'm happy for that. Bring it on. I've never played League of Legends, and I have no intention.
You should. We should play together.
I get my ass handed to me, bro. No way.
You do until you don't. And then you start being toxic. It's great.
I don't want to be toxic, Rob.
No, I'm joking. Just, it's fun. It's fun.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
It's insidious. It gets in your skin.
I like my single player games. I like sitting on my couch, big TV, no one's bothering me or in my ear. Yeah. Aside from the fun that I had with Call of Duty, obviously, I'm definitely a single player kind of guy. And yeah. I will say this, the next game that I'm about to play is Stalker 2. I'm very excited to get into Stalker 2. They've sent me a code, big shout out, and I'll probably be talking about it in the next podcast. So we will be talking about Stalker 2.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I sent you a code as well, Rob. So I don't know if you're going to get time to play it, but we'll definitely talk about it next week.
Yep.
So finally, viewer questions. As always,
I am so flabbergasted that we're 50 minutes in.
Like, you're the one that was blabbering on about the novel. I am
bamboozled. Bamboozled.
We say this every week, every podcast, and we should just stop saying it because this podcast is an hour. It is an hour.
Bamboozled.
With how it's structured. Viewer questions. Let us know your questions in the comments below for future podcasts. Number one, I couldn't read this name because I believe it was in Korean, but somebody asked, is there a plan for custom shorts, Rob?
I don't know how you get custom shorts, but if they'll allow me
then
I would like some. That would be cool. I don't know how you get them, though.
It seems like they just reach out to fighters and, like, you want to do some custom shorts.
They reach out to me. I'm going to get my guy to reach out to them.
Good. Good. Because I feel like your custom shorts with the Reaper logo would be sick. Right?
I don't know if they'll let me do that, but even just having the Southern Cross on my shorts would be sick.
Dude, Charles Oliveira's, his shorts look like a favela. That was sick. I don't know. I feel like every custom short that I've seen so far, aside from Stipe's, have been pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
Next question is from @newcut. Question for Rob. If you had a tag team 2v2 matchup in the UFC, who would you want to be your partner? Can pick anyone up to middleweight. Can't pick John Jones.
Up to middleweight.
That's a hard question.
Chimaev.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I feel like he can lock down one dude, and then I reckon I have the gall to fight one-on-one. And then by the time I've done with my guy, I'll just go stomp the other guy. I'm going to walk over there and stomp the living hell out of him.
Next question is from Osiris6026. Question for both. What game, no matter who you play against, will you beat anybody at?
Mate, any game. I've never lost a game, period.
Oh, don't say that. Of course you have. Don't be that guy, Rob. Don't be that guy.
I haven't lost a game. Like, no, wait, I lie. I lost a game in 1996. That's it. Since then, only up. I don't know what you're talking about.
No, I've never lost a game in my life. My answer is obvious, but you have to pick Mario Kart because Mario Kart is a game anybody stands a chance at winning. I'm pretty good at Mario Kart.
Not against me, brother.
All right. You give me some practice. I'm telling you right now, I think I'd beat you in Mario Kart for sure. No. I got really good at it, bro. Really good at it. Next question is from AJ Got Smoke. Now that Rob has had time to chill, will he be playing the goddamn Elden Ring DLC?
No.
Oh, far
out. No, I won't. I just not vibing right now. I don't want that sort of game to play.
In the future?
I burnt myself out so hard, dude. So hard.
All right.
You know what? I will do it again if, like, maybe a mate picks it up at the same time and we just try and do it. I don't know. I wouldn't mind doing it like not farming souls at all, like making it a little bit real hard.
Yeah. I feel you.
Man, I don't know. I'm just not vibing. I'm really into indie games.
No, I feel you, bro. I mean, I work at a company and we do indie games, and like there's so many good indie games that you just miss out on because there's so many games that are being released lately. But if you have this mindset that you just want to play AAAs, you're missing out on so many good experiences.
I'm going to hit another tangent right now tell you what a sick game, Dragon Ball Z Sparking World, whatever it's called.
Sparking Zero?
It is such a good game.
Yeah, I've heard good things,
If you like Dragon Ball Z and you like fighting games, like, I love it. I love like trying to fight my son. I go in there and I fight my son. And I always pick Master Roshi. Always. Just because I love the old dude when he goes mega. I get flogged. He always picks like Vegeta and Goku and then goes like God mode Vegeta or whatever.
Plays his Whis or
Beerus.
Oh,
yeah. He's got like seven life bars. I'm an old dude, right? But it's funny. It's such a good game. But anyway, just back to questions.
No, I mean, it is. I've heard good things, and I heard it's recaptured how good Tenkaichi was back in the day. Next one is from Soham Babka 05. I'm sorry if I butchered that. What does Rob think about having a few fun matchups going forward with someone with name value like Usman, or does he still want to hunt down contenders at 185?
Oh, mate. Whatever.
You really are. I'll fight whoever.
It doesn't matter. Like, I'd like, I'm still, my goal is to fight for the title again, right? I want to hang up the boots with the strap on, but it's a hard path. I understand the task at hand.
Of course.
I understand the setbacks and whatnot. It's a funny business, but, you know, life's funny. Those opportunities and whatnot.
And it really depends on how the division shapes up. Like, depending upon who Drickus fights next, hypothetically, if Drickus and Sean did fight and Sean happened to lose, you two have never fought. So that would be a good matchup, right? Mm. I think Nassadim Imavov and Izzy are set to fight. I think it's rumored. I don't know if it's official. So that's been taken care of. And then you got Caio Bahia as well. So there's a few fighters in there now in that top five, top six that you haven't fought. That I think there are fun matchups to be had that still get you closer to that title. Yeah. Next question, and the last question, is from at OursIsGold2718. Question for Rob. Let's just clarify it because people keep asking. Will you stay at middleweight for the rest of your career, or is light heavyweight a possibility?
I don't know. You know, earlier in my career, I always thought I'd go to light heavy. But
really?
But now they're like, they're so big, dude.
They are.
Like, they're so big, and not just big, they're tall. Like, I feel like I could get thick and I could get big, but they're tall. I don't know. But maybe they'll look differently once I'm big too. I don't know.
Yeah, fair. I don't know. But you're right. They are huge. Like, every time I see Rakic, for instance, even though he's lost his last couple of fights, that dude looks monstrous, man. Pereira, and, obviously, as well.
Not going to rule it out, but...
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. Well, now you're just fueling speculation. And those were all the questions for episode 52 of the MM Arcade podcast. To our hardcore viewers for watching until the end, thank you so much. Rob, as always, do you have any closing thoughts?
I just want to say thank you again to all our viewers and listeners and everyone that has subscribed and stayed with us. We're back, which is good. But also to all my fans and you know, supporters out there that just, you know, cared about how I was doing, what I've been up to, tuned in to find out. You know, love you guys, and I feel it. I really felt it after the fight, and I'm good. I'm training, and I'll be back soon.